Okay, we're going to continue the four steps in the life of Abraham. Step number one, Abraham went forth, separation. He left his country, his father's house, his kindred, and he went to a place of which God would tell him of. He went forth, separation. Then he went down into Egypt, sign of his failure, when there was a famine in the land. Abraham went down to Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. And God has said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. When he was in Egypt, he had to lie about his relationship with Sarah. He said she was his sister in order to preserve his life. And when we're out of fellowship and outside the will of God, we find ourselves saying and doing things that would push us further away from God. But God intervened and preserved Sarah and preserved him. And the next thing we know about Abraham is that he went up. Chapter 13 of Genesis says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot went with him into Negev. Abraham went up. Abraham was restored to the Lord. Abraham left Egypt. And if you have been in the world, if you have been part of this world system, if you have turned away from the Lord, like Demas, who left Paul because he loved this present age, he loved this present world, you can be restored. Abraham did not remain in Egypt. And you do not have to remain in the world. You can forsake the world because friendship with the world is enmity with God. If you're a friend of the world, then you are an enemy of God. So you got to forsake the world. You got to leave Egypt. Abraham left Egypt and he went up. And he was restored to the Lord. And that's the call of the Christian, beloved. You and I, we have to come back to the place from where from whence we have fallen. God has said to his people in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. Let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is forgiveness with God. You can always come home. God says, I will receive you. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord. But you have to leave. You have to forsake the world. One of the best known parables in the New Testament is the parable of the prodigal son. He left home. He went away into a far country. He wasted his father's substance in riotous living. The time came when his funds ran out. And everyone else left him. He began to be in want. He found himself in a very unfamiliar position. He came from a home that was generous. He came from a home that was loving. And now here he is out in the world, And no man gave unto him. That's an unfriendly world out there. It's hostile, especially to the people of God. The only thing he can find to do was to feed swine. And he was so hungry that he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. That's pathetic. But that's Satan, beloved. He's a hard taskmaster. So one day he said, and this is important, he came to himself. You have to find that place of soberness, where you can reflect, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. He remembered back home, he remembered the good old days, as we say. Remember the servants at his father's house, they're doing much better than he was doing. But you have to come to yourself. We put it this way in our terms. We say we come to our senses. We realize that we're in the wrong place. We realize that we can do better. We realize that there's a loving Father waiting for us to come home. When he was eating that husk, the pig's food, he came to himself and he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Hunger. "I will arise and go to my father." Abraham realized, down in Egypt, that's not my place. That's not where God called me to. That's not the promise of God. The promise of God is back in Canaan. What am I doing here? So he went up. He went up out of Egypt. The prodigal left the pigsty. And he went home. He went back to his father. And he didn't go back and making demands on his father and say, "You better receive me, you know, and there got to be some changes around here, otherwise I'm not staying." No, he was quite content to be a servant. He went back in humility. He went back in repentance. He said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I am not worthy to be called thy son." Beloved, when we adopt that attitude, the attitude of humility, the attitude of confession and repentance, God says, "I will receive you. I will be a father unto you." You would experience the true fatherhood of God and the love that loves not because of, but in spite of. The prodigal arise. He arose and he went to his father. He says, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Now that is consistent, beloved, with restoration. The Lord has said in his word, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you return, some wouldn't like it. Some would think you should be abandoned forever, as your older brother thought. But his father could not turn him away. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. And he went and he embraced him. He came back wanting to get a job with his father. Oh, beloved, once you are a son, you can't be a servant. You are a son. Once you are a son, you're always a son. This my son, he said. He was dead and now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. Because he went up. He went back to his father. And that's part of Abraham's life, beloved. He went up from Egypt. He did not stay in Egypt. He went up back to the land, back to the place where God had placed him. And you'll find that he's back to pitching his tent. He's back to building his altar. He is back to calling on the name of the Lord. The prodigal says, make me as one of thy hired servants. No, he's my son. The father said, you can't be a servant. You're my son. You're my son. It doesn't matter how far off they have gone, beloved. You have a son. You can say he's not my son all you want. He is still your son. Maybe he's wayward. Maybe he's disobedient. Maybe he's rebellious. But he's still your son. Abraham was still the object of God's promise and favor. Even down in Egypt, the Lord protected him and protected Sarah. And Abraham went up. He went up out of Egypt. If you have found yourself in a place of rebellion, if you are backslidden in heart, if you have strayed and wandered away from the Lord says, come out. Come out, come up, leave that place, leave that place. When David, the king, when he sinned against the Lord and then he went into Bathsheba, what a grievous sin that was. And he compounded it by keeping silent. He compounded his sin by arranging for the death of Uriah. And on he went. And he told us in Psalm 32, he says, when I kept silent, my bones cry out. When I kept silent, I had no peace. What a relief it was for David when he was confronted by the prophet. And he told him, thou art the man. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord. That's all you need. The Lord is not going to require penance of you. The Lord is not going to compel you to build some wall or some structure all by yourself before he will receive you. All he needs from you is a penitent heart, a contrite heart, he says. I will not despise. David confessed his sin and he wrote in Psalm 51, that penitent psalm, he cried to the Lord. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore me. For against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You got to leave Egypt. Yes, many of us, we have gone into Egypt. Many of us, we have done things that are displeasing to the Lord. Many of us, we have gone on after the world, but we don't have to stay in the world. The prodigal did not stay in the pig pen. Abraham did not stay in Egypt. He went up. And you and I must go up. How sure are we that God will receive us? You know, one of the better known portions in the Old Testament, I think our brother and sister sang about it this morning. I'm gonna read it because it is so appropriate for us today where we are right now in our nation. We claim to have God's favor, and we do. So many of God's people live in this land. Listen to God's word. It's well known to all of us. I'm going to read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name," do you qualify? My people called by my name. You remember the disciples at Antioch were first called Christians, the believers. Christians, you know what that means? Christ ones. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. It's not enough to say, well, we live in a Christian country. This is a Christian country. No, we need to humble ourselves and to practice what we preach. If we say we belong to the Lord, to practice true Christianity in the teachings of our Lord. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. He didn't say just pray when there's a crisis, when we're having problems. No, we need to pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, not before. Then. These are the conditions, beloved, for the blessings of the Lord. We have to be restored. We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek his face. He says then, not before then. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. Abraham had no blessing down in Egypt except the blessings that came from Pharaoh, material blessings. But that's not what God blessed. That was not what God was interested about, this man. What God said of Abraham, and not that he was rich, but that he believed God, faith, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Not all the riches that he gained in Egypt, but because he believed God, and he was called a friend of God, not because of what he had, but because of in whom he believed. We have God's guarantee. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. You tell me if we need healing today. I don't think anybody would disagree. We need healing. We need God's healing. You know, we can't stay and keep doing the same things over and over and over again and expect God's blessing. When the Lord Jesus addressed the seven churches in Asia Minor, there in Revelation, the first church he addressed was Ephesus. And Ephesus was not a bad church, you know. It was a good church. God says in verse 2, I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. This was a good church. And thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake thou hast labored and hast not fainted. That was a pretty good church, a pretty good assembly, would you say? But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. There's no greater sin, beloved. It's there in the commandments early. Thou hast shall have no other God before me. And if they left their first love, then something else has taken its place. So I have this against you. You have left your first love. I used to be prominent. I used to be number one. Now I'm somewhere at the bottom. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent. Come back. Come back. Leave Egypt. Egypt is your first love now. Egypt is your most important love now. Leave Egypt. Remember, therefore, when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. My people, called by my name, repent. Remember. Remember when I was prominent. Remember when you loved me with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Remember that time. Return. Repent. Like Abraham, you have to leave Egypt. You have to leave Egypt. Moses did. He left Egypt. He was a prince. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted, but he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he could have been a Pharaoh himself. But when he came to years, when he came to that place of understanding and understood what God had in mind for his people, because his mother taught him, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was willing to identify himself with the slaves in Egypt. And it says in Hebrews 11:27, Moses by faith, he forsook Egypt. He left it. He left it behind. All its riches, all its glamour, all its pomp and ceremony. He left it behind. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Abraham left Egypt, and he went back. He went back, you know, he went back to Bethel. You know what Bethel is? The house of God. Abraham, not only he went up, but it says also that he went on. He went on. He made progress. Chapter 13, verse 3, he went on his journeys from the Negev even to Bethel. That's the house of God. Unto the place where his tent had been. Now again, he's a pilgrim. He's a pilgrim once again. Beginning between Bethel and Hei, onto the place of the altar. He is worshiping again. He is not adoring the king of Egypt. He is not looking to him. He says, he built an altar. This is something that you can find in Abraham. He, wherever he went, he built an altar. You never find that Abraham built a house. He dwelt in a tent. His home was a piece of canvas that was fluttering in the wind. The place where he lived was only canvas, fluttering in the wind. But the place where he worshipped was built solid. We do the reverse. We want the best to live in, but we give God anything. He lived in a tent. He built an altar. And he called on the name of the Lord. He's not looking to the king of Egypt now. I got a famine in my land back there. I'm here because we need help. We need help. And the king helped him. He helped him a lot because he was interested in taking his sister. Because Abraham says, she's my sister. Oh, beloved, how low can we get? Abraham went on his journey. You know, it's one thing to be restored to the Lord in repentance, beloved, but we cannot be stagnant. We don't want to just stay there. We want to go on. We want to move on. As Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have to add things, you know. We have to go on to perfection. And he says, this is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. I know you know it. 2 Peter rather, chapter 1. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. We can't just stay there. And to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you, if they become part and parcel of your daily life, and they abide in you, they're part of your life, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to bear fruit. Abraham went on. And what a fruitful man he was. What a fruitful man he was, Abraham, because he made progress. He not only left Egypt, but he went on. He added things. He went to Bethel, the house of God. And Peter tells us, you and I, beloved, in 2 Peter 3:18, that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. The early church did that. You look at the book of Acts and you see often the early church, the Lord added daily to the church such as would be saved. Believers were more added to the Lord in Acts 5 and 14. The disciples multiplied. Chapter 6, we cannot stay stagnant. Abraham went on. He made progress. In Acts chapter 9, the church multiplied. In chapter 11, Peter in the house of Cornelius says a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Many people, Acts 11, were added unto the Lord. He went on. In chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto the church 3,000 souls. We read in Hebrews, in chapter 6 and verse 1. We not to stay stagnant. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, the elementary stuff, let us go on to perfection. It doesn't mean that you're going to be sinlessly perfect, but it means let us go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and so on. Let us go on to perfection. Let us become mature. Let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went on. And even though we didn't get to this part of the message, I'm just going to tell you what's in it. Abraham, in his progress, He worshiped, for he built an altar unto the Lord. When God called him to offer up his son Isaac, he built an altar. Isaac noticed the fire and the wood, but something was missing. He saw the altar, but he didn't see the lamb. And Abraham told him God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So he was a worshiper. Before the law was given, the head of the family was the family priest, the one who offered sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's who Abraham was. He was a worshiper. He pitched his tent. He was a pilgrim. A pilgrim. We are called upon to be pilgrims and strangers, as sojourners. Not like Lot, but we are sojourners. We are pilgrims and we are strangers. It sounds like the same thing, but not really. A pilgrim is a person on their way home, a traveler on his way home. And a stranger is what it is, a stranger in a strange land, away from his home. And that's what we ought to be. This world is not our home. This world and all its glitter and all its allurements, it is a hostile world to our Lord. You know, they would not tolerate religion, they would not tolerate all kind of stuff, but they would not tolerate you speaking of Christ. Speaking of faith and the exception to that. They still don't like our Lord. You can preach all the religion you want. They are okay with that. But they want you to be bogged down here. How you can do well in this world. For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we look for the Savior. I don't mean, and the Bible doesn't mean, that we don't have responsibilities here as citizens of this land. That's not what it's saying. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's our final destination. That's where we're heading. That's where we'll be forever. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So Abraham was a pilgrim. He pitched his tent, and he journeyed. This is not home. We are strangers in this world. If he wanted to go back to Ur of the Chaldees, he had opportunities to go back, but he didn't want to go back. And he warned his servant when he sent him to seek a wife for his son. He said, make sure you don't take my son back there. We're not going back. God called us out of that place, and we are not going back. He was a man of prayer. He called on the name of the Lord. That's what we need, beloved. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and are safe. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. A worshiper, a pilgrim, and a prayer warrior. That's what we need in our time. That's what we need in the church. I trust that these thoughts concerning Abraham was helpful for the body of Christ here, and that you'd seek to emulate these qualities of this great man of God, of whom God says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the one who is infinitely greater than Abraham, the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We thank thee, our Father, that he is the one to which we must look. Even though we have this great, these great cloud of witnesses like Abraham, that word says we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship with God's people. Thank you for the privilege of remembering our blessed Redeemer in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, and for this time of sharing your word. Thank you for all the saints. Thank you, Father, for the meal that thou hast provided for our bodies. We ask thy blessing upon it to the good of our bodies. We ask thy blessing upon those who prepared it and made it ready. We ask thy continued help and blessing. Lord, accept of our thanksgivings and watch over us and guide us and be with us as we travel and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety, and glorify thyself in us. We humbly pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.